Hello, this is Jim Thomas welcoming you to the Message Share Ministry of the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church located in Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. The message you are about to hear was preached in a worship service. After some congregational singing, our speaker is William P. Robbins, who is a pastor and elder.
Good morning, everybody. Nice to see you. Trust that the Lord will be pleased to be in our presence in a special way and speak to our hearts. I am emphasizing the second coming of the Lord Jesus for it to take off of last Sunday night's message. But before we do, I want to welcome you, give a few announcements. After Brother Jim Thomas preaches tonight, we're observing the Lord's Supper. And I trust that you'll come and enjoy observing the Lord's Supper. Wednesday night we have our Bible study. As you know, every meeting in the evenings at 7 o'clock, and we have also then our prayer meeting. Now, with the announcements, I'd like us to sing some hymns that have to do with Christ coming again. He said he was going to come back. And the first one is 233, Behold, the Bridegroom Cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Rejoice, all ye believers, and let your lights appear. 233. Sing for our second hymn concerning the second coming of Jesus Christ is that Jesus May Come Today. It's number 692, Jesus May Come Today, a glad day, glad day. I was thinking of friends of Sissy. He loved to do flowers, and a man came to me and said, Francis, if the Lord should come today, what would you do? And he said, I'd just keep on cultivating my flowers. And you say, come on. I'll live for today, nor anxious be. Why should I be anxious? Well, if you're ready to meet the Lord, you shouldn't be overly upset or nervous. Are you ready to meet the Lord? And it'd be nice to be in a state where I said, I'll just, hey, if the Lord's coming today, praise the Lord, I'm ready to go. Hey, this business of the second coming of the Lord is not just something sensational. It's something to preach about. It's very serious. Brother Dan, he's going to read to us this morning the passage on the board, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 2 through 8. And it has to do with this matter of the second coming. It's like a night thief. And it also says that we're not to be sleepy. Brother Dan, please. Oh, let's all stand, please.
For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep, as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation.
Amen. That is God's holy word. Let's pray. Our Father, whatever time it is to come before you, your throne of grace and mercy, because of the work of Christ at Calvary. We don't come in ourselves or in our righteousness or who we are, but Christ. And so we're glad you hear us. And as you look upon your people, see Christ's imputed righteousness, his robe on us, we're grateful. We're grateful to be children of God through faith in Christ. And so we pray your blessing upon each believer here this morning. And then we're cognizant that there are those that do not know Jesus Christ intimately or savingly and need to repent of sin and trust him. And so we pray your blessing upon them, and we ask for their salvation. And then collectively, that we might have an understanding that this life is just a short period of time, and that we need to have preparation to prepare to meet thy God. And not only for the lost sinners, but for those of us who are Christians. This morning we're looking at this passage, your passage, how that the second coming is like a thief, a night thief. And when we know not is when he is going to come, when we don't even think about the fact that he's coming. He's coming. May our Lord Jesus be glorified and honored this day in our midst, and may his Spirit mingle among us and speak to us. Put away, Father, personality that's distractive, and Father, may you have the preeminence. Will you anoint me as I give forth your word? Will you anoint those who hear? And we desire that we might hear this morning your word. Once again, we're cognizant we have the privilege of praying for others. Thank you for that priestly ministry that we do have, each of us. And we do pray. There's a concern for the Japanese that we've heard some news, perhaps, that already there are those who have come to know Christ because of this calamity. We trust that it's true. We do know you work in every nation and every kindred. We pray for them. We pray for those who would give forth the truth without any compromise, and Jesus Christ to be presented in salvation of the Japanese, likewise other countries. And then coming back to our country, we do need prayer. It seems, Father, that the government officials have a way of being deceitful and is causing our situation to get worse. We pray for them. We pray for wisdom for them, that they may be able to deliberate in a way that would please you. So that involves salvation, and so we pray for our leadership, salvation. Once again, look upon us as we meet this morning, individually and collectively. In the name of our Lord Jesus, who loved us and gave his life for us, we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Well, I think that we ought to sing about the name of Jesus. A number of hymns about the name of Jesus is not my... My favorite is not going to be sung, but let's sing the 124, which is a good one. In light of the coming of our Lord Jesus, hymn number 124, At the Name of Jesus. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I was going to sing another hymn, but I think we'll turn to the Word of God and get on with the subject that is at hand. Last Sunday evening, Brother Rook wasn't able to be here. Oh, by the way, thank you. Thank you, Capuzzis, for arranging that Watsontown Christian Academy to view the DVD with Paul Washer. I think that was wonderful that you went ahead with that, brother, and I want to commend you and thank you in the name of the Lord, you and your wife and family. I hope it was well received. Yes. So, I was on the subject last Sunday evening for taking Brother Rook's place. He's better, by the way. And I asked this question about the tsunami and the earthquake in Japan, was it of God? And in Isaiah 45, verses 5 through 7, it says that God says that he creates evil, which the word evil translated could be immoral and things like that. But it also means most of the translations, other than the King James Version, put it as calamities or disasters. But it's good with the word evil. And he says, I create. He said, I didn't create sin, but he said, I create evil. And so I went into that with the fact that, well, here it is, that terrible, terrible situation in Japan. And I know there are those of you who are praying for the Japanese, which I think is great. But I brought it back home in my study about us. Because if we think they're more righteous than those Japanese, and that we're such good people, we Americans, we may be in for it. As Luke 13, the Lord Jesus said, you'd better repent if you think that that they are more wicked than us. See, sometimes we get an idea that we really are something. The Lord made that clear. And so I thought we ought to learn about the final judgment and how we ought to live in light of the coming of the Lord Jesus. I think it's good to know that. I know that the Lord is communicable and he will talk with us and we can talk with him. And I think it's so important that that we don't spend a little more time on it. And I'm just going to continue on last Sunday night's message, is what I'm planning to do. And I'm turning to 1 Thessalonians rather than Isaiah and the 5th chapter of 1 Thessalonians and those verses that Brother Dan read. And especially want to zero in on verse 6 for us. Let us not sleep. It has contextually about the coming of the Lord Jesus. That's what's in its context. Therefore, let us not sleep. Or the word sleep could be slumber, as do others. But let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day, it's talking about Christians now, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate, breastplate of faith and love, and for helmet, the hope of salvation. And the Lord be pleased in speaking to us from his holy word this morning. I would like to say, first of all, that this matter of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ has some consequences for all of us, each one of us. Say, well, this isn't relevant to me. Not relevant to you? Each one of us. Whether you know Christ or whether you don't, it's a consequence. There are people that, if you read any paper, he said, hey, the end of the world. Look what happened in Japan, the end of the world. God speaks about earthquakes and famines and all this at the end of the world. Yes, yes. But 1 Thessalonians said, brethren, that isn't quite it. He said, I'm not going to make a big fanfare about coming, but when I come, it will be a big fanfare. Let me tell you something. He described it here as in the night. Verse 2. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord shall cometh as a thief in the night, when you think not. You say, well, we're thinking about Japan. This must be that a word for us that the Lord is coming. Yes, indeed. But more than that, when he comes, he said, I'm going to come as a thief in the night. When you least expect it. Oh, the Lord's not coming. Yeah, well, that's the attitude. He is coming back. And I found so many years ago, I'm going to read it to you. I found this passage so precious to as a young Christian. And I just want to share it to you in case some of you are sitting here this morning and say, well, I heard this a long time ago. I don't think that it's really all that interesting. Well, listen to this. A former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach. Okay. Until the day in which he was taken up, ascended into heaven. After that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also he showed Now we're talking about a resurrected Jesus Christ. He had showed himself alive on after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Not many days hence. Watch this. It gets better. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Watch this. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of sight. And while they were looking steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. And this is what they said. Just in case you have some doubt about the second coming of Jesus Christ, this is what they said. Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. That's the word of God. He said he's coming again. And if you want to sit there and say, well, I don't see he hadn't come yet, all right, you're like some scoffers the Bible speaks about. Don't be like those scoffers, because this is a fact that you and I need to think more about. And I want you to be patient and not have an anxiety about it. That'd be lovely as a believer. There is a way that the Bible says in here in 1 Thessalonians, we're to live in such a way, this is talking to Christians, that in such a way that it'll please the Lord. Now, listen, introspection is good. I don't care what the psychologists say. Introspection is good. You may think you're a good person and you're really terrific, but I think you would have to examine yourself to see whether you're being in the faith, for one thing. But you ought to examine to see whether you really are pleasing the Lord if you say you're a Christian. Now, what's this all about? This verse 6 of 1 Thessalonians 5. It's talking about sleeping. Sleeping or slumbering. Well, slumbering. Let us not sleep, it says in verse 6. Well, who's sleeping? I'm awake. Are you sure you're awake? There's a temptation amongst all of us to sleep. You say, well, I don't have that problem. Some of us have a problem to sleep. You can sleep with your eyes open. When I worked at the bakery in Inwell, Pennsylvania, or New York, I fell asleep standing up. Now, horses sleep standing up, I know that. I couldn't believe it. I fell asleep standing up. I worked the third shift while I was in seminary. So what? This business of temptation to sleep is it's a little bit like people coming without advance notice. Hey, hi, how you doing? Oh, my word. Throw the sweeper out there, honey, so they think you're at least working. Ann Landers says, if you don't call ahead of time, you're not welcome. Now, that's Ann Landers, not Christian. But I want to say something. I don't know whether your mom taught you any etiquette or not, but it's an etiquette thing to call before you do come to a place. Because some people have to work physically. Some work on a farm. I was down here hauling out manure some years ago, and I had my manure boots on, my farm clothes on. A guy drives up in a nice car. And he says, is this where the Sovereign Grace Church is? I said, yes, sir, this is where we meet, and have a house church. Oh, and the smell of manure, and here's the preacher. I'm the preacher. That's kind of humbling. Don't tell me you don't like somebody to call before they come. And the Lord Jesus is saying, I'm going to tell you, I'm coming, but you'll not know when it is. I'll come like a night thief. You better be ready. Now, some of you can be ready at all times. Look nice, smell nice, and just be just everything up to date. And your house is in beautiful shape. I commend you. But you'll find it is not way with everybody. Everybody. I worked for a German, Pennsylvania German farmer for 13 years. And they had a room that you never went into. It was closed off. Literally. Folding doors. Nice room. Beautiful furniture. Never go in there. Except special occasions. Like weddings and funerals. Open it all up. Is that the way you are? Or do you live in your home? I simply would say to you that we need to be careful that we aren't offensive. Now, in some churches, I do want to say this kindly because some of you are going to take it wrong, that when there's a church service and preaching going on, there ought not to be a lot of movement. Getting up, walking around, shuffling around, talking, passing notes. This is where we meet God. It isn't just the preachers up here preaching the Word of God. If it's God's Word, then listen to it. He's supposed to arouse you so you pay attention. But listen, you got an obligation. If you got to go to the bathroom, try to go ahead of time. Oh, that's not the way it is with me. That's different. If you're a mom and you're up all night taking care of babies and you're sleeping, that's fine. Why am I saying this? I'm saying this. You can be asleep. And when the Word of God is given, you're not even with us. And you can do this and do that and make all your plans for next week. Something's not right. The Word of God says, command me, listen. Be children of light and the children of the day. We're not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let's not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. I think this generation needs some sobriety. I just do what I want to do. I don't have to listen to such foolishness as saying, don't be disturbing the preaching of the Word of God. In the old days, the deacons would have taken care of you. They're saying, listen, when you come to church, you sit there and you pay attention to the Word of God. Well, what's that have to do with the second coming of the Lord Jesus? He said, I'm coming as a night thief when you don't really expect it. But are you ready to meet him? Are you ready to meet the returning Lord Jesus Christ? That's the subject. And he's saying here, apparently many are not, verse 6. And speaking to Christians. Now, what do you mean Christians aren't ready? They know Jesus Christ are ready as ever. Nah. There's a little more to it than that, I believe. You know, you can be in a spiritual sleep or spiritual slumber. And I know what I'm talking about. I know firsthand what I'm talking about. So don't sit there and say, well, you can be wide-eyed, wide awake about this world, about this life, about my job, about my money, and be wide awake at a church service, and be sleeping, but wide awake. Sleeping to spiritual truths. In la-la land. That's what verse 6 is saying. And God is not pleased. We need to discipline ourselves. Our minds are such a nature that we can be thinking about a lot of things. Look at verse 6. It's the Word of God. You be careful. You ought to be a little anxious. If that's the way you goof off in a service of God's service, that you just kind of sleep with the wide open eyes and I'll tell you this. The old timers used to prepare for Sunday morning. Got everything all around, even the food around, Mom. Well, that's not always possible in this day. Okay. But There are things that you can do Saturday that will sap all the energy out of you. It's a day you work and play, and you just, oh, man, you go really at it. I work 5 days a week, and I just have Saturday and Sunday, and I just go for it. And my energy's all sapped out, and so I don't think I'm going to go to church today. That isn't that important. You'll find out in Hebrews 10 where I'm going to close out this morning. Excuse me. It's a sin just to say, I'll do what I want to do as far as the Lord's Day. I just want to say this to you. We are prone, verse 6 proves it, we are prone to sleep, especially about spiritual things and the needs of our souls. We're prone that way. Oh, no, I'm not. Yes, you are. You're prone to be sleepy about your soul. And that's what I want to say to us. Let's look at some ways. Is there any help? Let's look at some ways that lead us to not be spiritually sleepy. Some ways. Very simple. And I made it simple because I think we have to listen to things pretty simply. Is this business, first of all, about our sins? Christians, I talk about sins. My sins are covered under the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. But we will be given account for our works. This week, I've heard the name of Jonah being used around. Jonah, what do you got for us, Jonah, concerning this business of sleeping? Well, Jonah was one of those religious guys. He was a believer. And the Lord said, I want you to do this. And he said, I'm not doing that. The Lord said, I want you to go to Nineveh. I'm not going to Nineveh. I'm going the other way. He took off in a boat. And because he was so rebellious, as we can be rebellious, and so hardened, as Christians you can get hardened, and when God says something, say, well, I heard that before, got hardened, and they had a terrific storm on the ocean, and the boat was ready to crack up, and where's Jonah, please, and what is he doing, please, huh? What's he doing? Anybody know? Fast asleep. It didn't even bother him. Rebellious believer. Gone the opposite way. Got so hardened that he was fast asleep. The sailors would tell you, you can't do that. But here is this so-called preacher, and he's sleeping. God says, okay, Brother Jonah, I got another task to wake you up. I'll see that a big whale takes care of you. Maybe then you'll wake up. Can you see him coming out of the whale's mouth? And all red, all skin all puckered up from the juices, digestive juices, when he looked like a dandy. You don't pay attention to me this morning. I don't have anything to say to you. It's not that important. You've been there, know that. I'm telling you, you can be a Jonah. And when you come out looking like he did out of that whale, you'll say, I wish I would have obeyed God and quit being so rebellious about the things of God. Yes, our sins. Now, we've been on this subject around here also about sin. Brother Dan's been, he's been kind of promoting this thing, and he's right about it, that we don't see ourselves. Well, I look in the mirror. I know. The Bible says look in the mirror. You soon forget what you see. But some of us don't see ourselves. We think we're all right. We go to church, you know, and we take baths and so forth, and we think we're okay. Okay. But we're not regarding our sin. That's dangerous. Dangerous. Because God can send a tsunami on us individually. He says in verse 6, don't do it. Stay awake spiritually. Don't be rebellious. And you'll be ready to meet the Lord and not be anxious about it. You sound like a little anxious here, preacher. I am a little anxious because I think that people are sleeping, Christians, because he says others do this. But he says you want to be watchful and be sober because I'm coming back. I tell you, this business of sin, dear Christian, if you think that let us continue in sin that grace may abound. Hey, if I sin, then grace will abound. The Bible says that. He said, no way. I just want to say this to you. If you know something God wants you to do and you're not doing it, would you listen to the word of God? Would you think of Jonah for a little bit and say, I don't want that. I don't want that. I don't want to be a sleepy Christian, slumbering with wide awake to this old world, to its entertainments and to its education and to its sports and to the business and to, oh, making it go. And oh, we got to really make it, get out there and make it. Because if I don't do a good job, I'll lose my position. I have to work full time and overtime. Well, where's the primacy of the Lord Jesus in our lives? Secondly, first of all, then, if we're going to prevent ourselves from being spiritually sleepy, this regard to matter of sin in our lives. And secondly, let's consider this matter of actively praying. Oh, I pray. When the Lord Jesus is anxious, waiting for his arrest, he'd go once in a while back to Peter, James, and John. And there they were sleeping, like Christians, sleeping. And he said to them, he said, now wait a minute, this business of praying is important. Here you guys are sleeping. Prayer meeting isn't that important. And so he said, I want to say to you, he says, keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. How's that again, please? Keep watching and praying that you enter not into temptation. If I disregard prayer in my life, well, hey, I got to get going. I got to schedule. You'll find yourself easily tempted to temptation. And this business of praying and not have a wandering mind, isn't that something? You're talking to the Lord on the phone. Ring, ring. Or the dog barks. Cat yells, meows. Or you think, oh, I have to be at the bank today. And I'm in the midst of praying. Can you pray the Lord's Prayer without thinking about anything else? You say, simply, I sure can. I said, thinking about something else. You'll find it's pretty hard. And when you're spiritually sleeping, you say, no, lay me down to sleep. Hallowed be thy name and live in sin. Do sinful things. Disobedient. No, sir. It says in the verse 17 of this chapter is to pray without ceasing. Now, how am I going to pray without ceasing? I got work to do. I can't be on my knees all the time. How are you going to pray without ceasing? Well, it's a matter of being very sensitive that God is everywhere and he wants to have fellowship with us. And while I'm working on the tractor, I can be praying. Did you know that? And while you're doing dishes, ladies, doing housework, you can be praying. Sometimes it doesn't take a lot of intelligence to do things. We've done it so many times. Yes. You can be praying while you're playing that thing, too. I can be praying while I'm preaching. Do you know that? In fact, I have been praying. You pray when you go to church. Pray for the service. Oh, for Brother Bill, that he gets straightened up. Well, that may be all right, but do you pray for yourself? But to concentrate in prayer, it is something you've got to learn, or else you'll find yourself being, you know, sleepy Christians. Sleepy. So my prayer life doesn't amount to too much because I say prayers before I eat, and that's about what happens, or if there's a difficulty. I tell you, friends, it's something we have to pray about. Pray about praying, yes, because it's just so easy to maintain a alertness in praying is not easy. And then thirdly, I want to say to you about this business that the coming of the Lord Jesus is a night thief, is that we need to be careful about hearing the Word of God. And I've already spoken about hearing the Word of God. There's a fellow in the Acts 20th chapter of Acts, Eutychus. Well, I can't blame him. He's up on the third floor, and Paul's windy. He's preaching, it's midnight. And Eutychus falls off the windowsill on the ground. What was he doing? Sleeping. Yeah, well, now, come on, preacher. It's midnight. Okay, but I tell you, it can be 10 o'clock or 10:45 and people be sleeping. And it's not noon yet. It's possible to do that. And so I just would say be careful, because it is not talking about literal sleep here in verse 6. It may involve part of it. Therefore, let us not sleep. It's speaking spiritually. This is a spiritual book, as do others. Let us watch and be sober. And it's quite a serious passage as far as I'm concerned. This temptation to sleep by your wide awake eyes is just something. I think it's just tremendous possibility. Charles Spurgeon tells about a service where they had an afternoon service. People just came back from eating, and they're, you know what happened. If you eat a pretty good lunch, and you get real sleepy. And he said he looked around, and the people were practically all sleeping. And the preacher called out, "Fire, fire, fire!" And he cried out, "Fire." And people, where it comes? They start going, you know. And someone says, where? The preacher says, "I'll tell you where." He says, "In hell." And he says, "That's reserved for slumbering sinners." Where's fire? In hell. What is it reserved for slumbering sinners? It's possible to be a slumbering sinner, even a sinner saved by grace. Do you talk to yourself? You need to talk to yourself. It may not sound psychologically right, but I know this. I have been criticized for maybe being too loud in the pulpit. I got news for you. This Word of God says the Word is to arouse you. I'm not to stand here like my old history professor at Muhlenberg College. What a mess he was. Had a doctor's degree, and he stood there, boo, 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 just giving me facts like a computer. This is preach, cry out aloud. You need to be aroused by the Word of God, because you have a tendency to slumber in your chair. You're somewhere else, not hearing what the Word of God says. Besides, it's not very kind if I spend time studying that you might be blessed spiritually and you go goofing off. That's not kind either. Well, that's the way it is, preacher, I know. And I just want to say this to all of us. If our aim is to glorify and honor the Lord Jesus when we come to church or even any time, I think we have to be very careful about this whole matter in our life. We need to prepare for the coming of the Lord Jesus. Wait a minute. Didn't you say, "I'm a Christian, I am prepared for the second coming"? Well, there's more to it. It'd be nice if we can be like the man who said, "What would you do if the Lord was coming today? So I just continue to take cultivating my flowers." He really cared. He knew what it was all about. Do you know what it's all about? Or is church a playtime? Come here and hear the preacher blah 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 blah. Or do you take it to heart that this is God's holy word? Search me, O God, and see whether I have a right attitude about the things of God. I would say this to those of you who don't know the Lord. You need to repent from your sins. Oh, that you would repent. Oh, that you would see you're lost. Oh, that you would see the wrath of God If it's not the Lord Jesus, he took the wrath of God for your behalf if you know him and turn from your sins and trust him. But if you've not trusted yourself, trusted the Lord Jesus, you'll take your own wrath and go to hell and spend an awful time. And I would ask you to pray. You say, Christian, sinners can't pray. Yes, they can pray out to God. God, forgive me. Save me. A sinner can pray. You can also pay attention to the Word of God. I know a preacher in his last days, he had a drinking problem. And he said he'd stay till the bar rooms would close. It'd be at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And he said, as soon as he got into the car, you know, hit that old radio button, he wanted to hear preaching. Finally, God did get a hold of him. God used him mightily. Some people don't even take any time to read the Word of God. Families don't even have family devotions. They're just wide awake to this old world, but not to spiritual things. Oh, we got to get at it. But don't have any family devotions. Don't read the Word of God. Oh, you're not prepared to meet the Lord, though you say you're a Christian. No time for sleeping like this, or slumbering in the things in light of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, let me close with this. You think the second coming of the Lord Jesus is just going to be a little picnic? He's just going to be as a night thief, but when he comes, the trumpet, no, I tell you, dear friends, if you knew what was going to happen, there will be instantaneous resurrection, a general judgment, and the people, those that are lost, will be consigned to hell with their bodies and their souls and their spirit all together and cast into hell. The Christians, they will be judged as far as their works, and this old world will be destroyed by fire, and there will be a new heaven and new earth. Wow. This old world's going to end. And what you're so busy about is going to burn up. Yes, it is. And there's going to be a judgment. And you'll be included as well as I'll be included, individually. And where's the wrath of God going to be? The Lord Jesus, having taken it and trusted him intimately, are you going to take the wrath of God yourself on your own? I said I want to close the Hebrews. I want to do that. A passage in Hebrews 10. Oh, I know what that's going to say, preacher. Oh, you do? But don't be so sure. Hebrews 10. And I think, oh, wow. If you're going to talk about the second coming of the Lord Jesus, yes, yes, I believe it's true. He's coming. I don't know when. I see things are piling up. It's like it says in the Bible, like birth pangs for a woman, and the things are intensify. Oh, yes, they're going to do that. But he says this, and when I come, you won't expect me. And so I look at Hebrews 10, and I start at verse 23, and I say to myself, am I sinning? What do you mean? Verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Now, let us consider one another. I like this. To provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as you see the day approaching. What day is that, please? Huh? What day is approaching? Huh? The second coming of the Lord Jesus. Now listen, I say to some of my friends, and I say it lovingly, they don't take church seriously. And they say, well, I'm a Christian, but I don't always go to church. Listen, the command is, this is a New Testament command, don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Oh, I do that. Fine, because there is the manner of some. They don't do it. But we need to exhort in. And that word exhort means to comfort. It also means to admonish when we're wrong. And that's nice when a brother says, you know, brother, I think you need to look at this. But some people can't stand being talked to that way, but the New Testament church, they exhorted one another, comforted, encouraged, and you do it so much the more. When? Well, the day's approaching, all the more. You didn't quit back there 10 years ago. You get right at it and continue it. And I say to you, as I say to myself, brethren, thus saith the Lord of God, the Lord God, Lord, we've asked that you would work in our hearts, and I believe you worked in my heart. And I expect that also, Lord, you work in other hearts. Help us. We do need help. We have the tendency, this old nature, to be sleepy spiritually, doing other things that seem to be more important. Oh, to have a time whereby we have no anxiety about the coming of the Lord Jesus. Thank you that it's possible. But may there be an awful anxiety, dear Lord, upon those who are not saved and have not turned from their sins and trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I do ask, Lord, for them. We think of our neighbors and our friends, those who cross our paths, our fellow workers, our schoolmates, and all these folk that need Jesus Christ. We've been praying for the Japanese, Lord, for your favor and help in their trouble. Now, the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect or mature in every good work, to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, and through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated.
Thank you for listening to this recording from the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church of Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. We trust that it will have a lasting and eternal blessing to you. We would encourage you to visit us at 325 Yetter Road, Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania, or by way of our website at www.localchurchpa.com. That's www.localchurchpa.com. For further information, please call us at 570-546-6859 or email us at email@localchurchpa.com.